Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we were prompted, ZD posted a very satisfying picture on the internet of a cover stitch.
And that's exactly why I did it.
Yeah.
Because I do it and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so pretty.
Man, when you get it right.
On the top and on the bottom. And all I had to do was fold it up and do it. No trimming, nothing.
So was it done like you didn't trim it? You had measured and you did the hole and it was just perfect.
Yep.
Yeah, that's nice. Doesn't happen all the time.
And this is on a nightgown that no one will ever see.
Yeah.
But me.
Except they did because you put it on the internet.
Well, I took a picture. I thought, I'm taking a picture of this. And then like 2 days later, I thought, I got to show that off. I just love how nice it looks.
Yeah, rightly so. So people are like, how is this done? What is a cover stitch?
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera.
And we've talked about cover stitches
and
before.
I don't know how long or how often or what we've exactly said about cover stitches, but we're going to talk about it again.
And I will tell you, they're part of my life every day, so I don't mind talking about
them. That's right. So a cover stitch, one of the questions was like, can my serger do this?
Right.
Good question.
I think one of the questions was, did you do this on your serger or did you do it on your conventional machine?
Uh-huh.
Well, I did it on a cover stitch.
Yeah. So,
you know, machine.
So, anyway, like lots of just good questions, like basic questions right. around cover stitch. So,
what kind of thread is that?
What's going on? Yeah. Like, are you a witch? Like, what's happening?
No, I'm a cover stitch witch.
How do you spell cover stitch? Because whenever you try to write cover stitch, autocorrect or spell check or whatever wants to correct it to overstitch. So it just doesn't.
Our mind sometimes says nothing available.
Yeah.
Like when I go to hit, you know,
to like
it redlines it
stuff.
And I'll hit it and I won't get it. Or one time it would only let me capitalize it. I'm like, where did that come from? Anyway.
Okay. So I just spell cover stitch as one word.
I do too.
Personally.
Most of the time.
You could hyphenate it.
Yeah, except that sometimes.
Then it does to
autocorrect
overstitch.
Splits it for me. Yeah.
So yeah, you can put
I've
a
seen
space.
It hyphenated.
Hyphenated. You can do whatever you want. There is no governing body on how to spell cover stitch. But if you like try to spell baby lock, like, you know, the branded thing. Mm-hmm. I love how Apple applies its branding when you're like my Apple Watch and it's like capitalizes A, capitalizes W.
iPhone has no problem. Small A.
Actually, Zelda wrote something about an iPad and she wrote it properly, like lowercase I,
right.
uppercase P. I was like, oh, well, she's got that down. You know, she's got the Apple
Can't
branding.
Spell, but she can spell right. iPad. Yeah.
You know, Bernina is supposed to be all capitalized in case you didn't know.
Is it really?
Yeah. Remember that was, I remember that being one of the last things they released, like, while we were dealers.
Oh,
like, you must always all caps it.
Oh, like we're yelling it in the Alps?
Yeah, okay. It's like yodeling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Bernina is named after a mountain. There's a mountain called Bernina.
Bernina.
Yeah.
Okay, so that cover stitch, what is a cover stitch? Cover stitch is related, it's like a cousin of a serger / overlocker / overlock stitch. They're a bit related, mm-hmm. okay, in that a cover stitch is formed by...
Well, you forgot the chain stitch part.
Okay, well, hey, we are not talking about chain stitch yet, okay?
Right.
But you're right. Oh, man, uh-oh.
That's
next podcast, because
it's
what's a chain stitch?
Because it's a woven... It is a knitted stitch again.
So... A cover stitch.
So it's not a locked stitch. It's a knitted stitch.
Yes. Even though then sometimes people, they say cover lock, which can mean cover stitch or overlock. I think that's a confusing
term. I don't like the
word
cover lock. It really confuses me. I don't know what they mean. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that
can
be
confusing.
And I have
people say to me, I want to get a cover lock machine. And I'm like, wow, what does that mean?
Right.
You know,
which stitch do you want to do?
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, anyway, there's that element to it. But a cover stitch is created by two or three needles and one looper.
So underneath you have one thread that's going back and forth between those needle threads that are coming down.
It's not a bobbin. That's why I'm saying it's kind of related to the serger/overlocker.
Well, that's why I'm saying chain,
right?
Too, because the you know, you can find the right bobbin thread to pull to make it all come apart. Is that right? Not bobbin thread.
Looper.
Looper thread.
There's only one looper thread in the cover stitch.
Yes. And if you can find the place to pull it out.
Yes.
You can make it be undone.
What ZD's saying is it's
like
not
like on the dog food bag, which they don't do anymore.
Yeah. It's not as stable. The cover stitch is not as stable as a lock stitch when it's not
secured.
It's like what? Locked? When it's not secured. Yeah. So the cover stitch is created by two or three needles and a looper. There are the way ZD answered a question like, did you do this on your serger? Well, trick question.
Not a trick question.
There you go. Yeah. The machine we use to do this is a combo machine. Mm-hmm. But like the cover stitch part is really quite separate.
So it's basically sort of like they put a serger, you know, in this box, and then right next to it, they put a cover stitch in this box, and then they allowed them to, like, use the same thread lift or whatever, and you can use them at the same time. So I can make a cover stitch, right, and
An overlock stitch.
Right, yes. So I can make a serger overlock stitch and
a cover stitch.
And a cover stitch or a chain stitch and a serger stitch.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were getting chain stitch in here, Mom. Well, I know.
Okay.
Okay. So the cover stitch part, though, we were talking about loopers.
Right.
So if you own a serger, or even if you don't, a serger has two loopers.
Correct.
And on our combo machine, we've got three loopers because the cover stitch looper is separate. It's a different.
It's separate. It
separate from those other loopers.
Right.
It's different.
And actually, you can use only the serger part on this machine, and you can use only the cover stitch part on this machine.
And as ZD just said, you can put them together,
and
too.
That's why it's called a combo.
Yeah.
And when I say it's a combo, you can actually do the stitches at the same time. So you're running the fabric through at, you know, once, and you're getting an overlock on an edge, and you're getting a cover stitch next to it.
That's right. So what ZD keeps talking about with the chain stitch, I defined the cover stitch as being formed with two or three needles and one looper.
Right.
The chain stitch is just when you use one needle. And the looper.
That's correct.
Okay, so you don't.
But you're
get
using your. You're using your
the cover looper.
Looper.
Cover
right.
looper. So the cover stitch is what you see. You know, we used to be able to say this a little more reliably, and now a lot of companies are using that like stitch that looks like the cover stitch on both sides.
Right.
And so it's confusing. But if you have a T-shirt and you look at the hem and you see two lines of needle stitching on top
that are parallel.
That are parallel. And they've just got like blank,
and they're straight
blank
and
space between
they're
them.
Straight and parallel.
Yep. And
look like railroad tracks, so to speak, or something.
Well, no,
exactly, because they're going the other way, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, these are parallel to each other.
There's nothing going between
them.
They look
like the lines on the highway.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do not pass lines. They're just parallel
lines.
Okay. Yeah. And then on the back, you get the wiggle zigzag between them.
Right. You get like, you know, the lattice work between
right.
those stitches.
That is a cover stitch. So on the Ovation that we have, the combo machine, and on a lot of cover stitches, you have the option for three needles.
How many cover stitch?
One's in the shop. I need
Triumph.
To go. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The Triumph and the
Triumph
Ovation.
And the Ovation.
Oh, are we sewing on the Triumph right now? Is that what's going on? I forgot.
That's
the Ovation.
That's the Ovation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can use any combination of these needles.
Right.
Right. So there's a left, a center, and a right, or 1, 2, 3.
This has the capacity to use 8 threads.
Well, hold on. Right. Just the cover stitch part.
Oh, just
okay?
The cover stitch part. Okay. Sorry. I started talking
about
the machine.
Down.
I started talking about the machine.
So this is just the cover stitch part. Just three needles.
Don't listen to me today.
Yeah. So you can use needles 1 and 2 together. You can use needles 2 and 3 together. You can use needles 1 and 3 together, or you can use all 3. And if you use all three, it's called a triple cover stitch. Mm-hmm. Even though the single cover stitch uses two needles, but like we won't talk about how that's a little confusing.
Yeah, I call it a double, but anyway, it's wrong. Yeah.
Why would you call that a double?
Because it's two needles. That's why.
You call it. No, you don't. You don't say, I just did a double cover stitch, do you?
I just say I did a cover stitch.
Yeah, so a cover stitch uses two.
It's cover stitch or triple cover stitch.
Right, right.
There's no single or double. That's just cover stitch and triple cover.
And like you said, the chain stitch is just with the one needle. So the chain stitch, like Zizi said, it's like what you used to get on the dog food bags. They stitch it together.
Flower bags used to
there's
be like that.
We said there's no bobbin thread. It's a looper.
Right.
So you don't get the lock stitch
it's
look.
It's basically crocheted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so on the back, you're getting loops instead of sort of a corresponding lock stitch.
Uh-huh.
And this is, there's a chain stitch embroidery machines, and you can find chain stitch embroidery because the back of the chain stitch is very bold.
Right.
Right, because you get those loops going.
And actually on those machines, that's on top.
Right.
You know, they flipped it sort of.
So anyway, the cover stitch, why it's called a cover stitch is it can cover a hem it can cover the raw edge of a hem that is sewn. That's why it's called that. So let's take a little break and come back and kind of talk about the difference between it and the overlock and then how you can do a cover stitched hem. Zidi, what's your favorite way to measure yourself?
With my Easy Check tape measure.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's the only way to measure myself, I think.
Why is it so magical?
Well, because there's a slide on it.
Uh-huh.
You actually snap one end of the tape measure into the back of the slide, and then you fit it to the measurement, and then you can unsnap, and the slide remains on the place that you've measured.
So if you're trying to measure your arm.
Right.
Or your underbust.
Right.
Or your thigh.
Or your head.
Oh, yeah. The head, right. Definitely.
Well, and, you know, measuring yourself is one thing, but even measuring somebody else, what it does is it marks the spot, basically, where the measurement is. And so if I'm, and this happens to you, that you're measuring somebody and they start talking to you and you're like, was that 21 or 23? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And where with this, you know, the slide has marked it.
I also have heard feedback from customers who say, I am sending this to my daughter or, you know, so that she can measure my grandchildren.
That's
and it will
right.
be accurate.
Right.
Right?
Well, we've actually had trainers, too,
yep.
that bought these, you know, for their customers or they themselves use it for their customers or it was a male trainer and a female client. He didn't have to put his hands on the person
right.
or whatever.
Also, this tape measure, when you use it with a snap, it's impossible to work from the wrong side.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can't measure from the 60 end. You have to measure from the one end.
From the zero
end. Right.
Yes.
Right. And I said 60, but, you know, it also has the millimeters on the other side, too. So
yeah.
you've got...
you have imperial. And you have metric.
Metric, right.
And so the Easy Check tape measure makes it very simple when you are trying to measure yourself and you just don't want to be fumbling around.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, don't order one. Because if somebody sees it, a husband or
right?
a daughter or just a friend, I mean, honestly, at Christmas time, I would put this, like, in almost everybody's stocking stuffer. And I think it's a great thing to, like, send away to college with people, things like that.
Where fabulous.
You want
yeah.
something measured.
Well, if you're interested in your own Easy Check tape measure, you can see a video on how it works at sewhere.com/tape measure. And you can check it out for yourself.
Sewing out loud.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
And we're back. Okay, so a difference, something that I used to explain to people in the shop was with a cover stitch, you can sew in the middle of your fabric. When you're cover stitching, most often, you're not using the blade on your machine.
Even if you have a combo blade.
Right.
On a combo machine, it's serger blade, you drop it and lock it down.
When you're doing just the cover stitch.
Right.
Now, ZD was talking about those combo stitches where you can like use them all. And you could use the blade then because
right.
you're incorporating the overlock. But when you're just using your serger, you have a boundary. The looper is going over the edge of the fabric.
Right.
Okay. Whereas the cover stitch, it's on the bottom.
It's going underneath only.
It stays on the bottom. Yeah, exactly. So in a serger, you can do fancy stuff.
Well, on a serger, there's an upper and lower looper.
Yeah.
So one's underneath and one's on top.
There you
but
go.
But you do have the one on top.
Right, right. So with the serger, you could do fancy stuff like fold your fabric, serge along the fold.
And make sure you're not cutting.
And make sure you're not cutting.
Drop your knife or make sure either way you want to do that.
So like people do pin tucks like that
right.
or flat, the flat locking
mm-hmm.
that's the kind of mimics the cover stitch.
Right.
Okay. So there are technically ways to sew in the middle of your fabric with the overlock part, but the cover stitch, it can almost act a little bit more like the sewing machine.
Right, you're
right?
sewing on the flat bed with your flat fabric, you know, in like Mallory said, in the middle of the fabric. Like you decide where, you know, how far from the edge you want to, you know, have this line of stitching.
And there are people who do, you know, people like us, I guess, that put decorative threads like in the loopers and they literally are decorative stitching all over
right.
a square of fabric
so
or something.
So when we make
you know?
A pair of leggings, say, or workout wear and we want that stitch that looks like it's, you know, the lattice stitch that shows on top of the seam or whatever.
Right.
We flip our fabric and we do the cover stitch. So we're cover stitching from the back side of the fabric. And then when you turn it over, what you will see is the looper side. So
yep.
we have the looper side on the public side.
ZD showed her hem and showed both sides of it.
Right.
She decided to make the double needle area, her public side on that.
Right.
And we have a Zigzagger video on the decorative cover stitching on leggings. Like that's one of the bonus videos.
You know,
videos.
The other thing we do, especially those of you that understand how to use your cover stitch, I know a lot of people are a little bit afraid of it, but one of the things is when you are sewing in the round, so you're hemming a pair of pants or even this, I went around the bottom or the tail of the nightgown, you know, to hem it. So that was basically in the round. And we show you how to lock and pull the threads from underneath.
Like that video a
and
lot.
And what I'm going to ask you, what is it called?
It's called How to Finish a Cover Stitch in the Round.
Okay.
And it gets positive reviews and no one says you have a bad wig. People are just like,
I don't think they can see my head in that one.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know if we put your face in it or not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think it's
just my hands.
But it's apparently all of our videos should be just like that. So anyway, we have a video on finishing it and you can see it. But
and people really like this because this is really easy to do and it answers the question on how to secure these without having to go through an ordeal of taking the tails and a needle and pulling them through to the bottom and all
this. It's like easy to do.
It's like a magic thing.
Once you know how to do
it.
But when you learn, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
So how to finish a cover stitch in the round. And then, so we were talking about you can sew in the middle of your fabric, but a lot of times people are hemming. With this, okay?
Yes.
So what you are doing is you're figuring out how much to fold up your fabric.
And there's two ways to do it.
Right. Go ahead. Well, I guess there's like three ways. Okay, you go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The two ways to make... Now, what I posted, and I hope maybe we should just make
Let's start with this one,
first
one.
Maybe we should
Most
make
basic.
With this make sure that the one that we posted is on the on this podcast. People can make sure not everybody looks at our Facebook, I don't think. So what I did to this one is I cut my hem, you know, very nice, very very sweet. I cut the bottom edge of my fabric. And actually, this is more like a shirt tail hem. Like it goes
curved,
kind of up. It's curved on the sides. And it's like my standard nightgown. Like I have to sleep in this nightgown I make, everybody. Like it's the only thing I'm comfortable in. It's very weird. But anyway, so I knew I wanted to turn it up approximately like a half to three quarters of an inch. But what I really did is I went over to the machine and I looked at where my needle one was and needle three, because that's what I used. I used a wide cover stitch, okay? Mm-hmm. So that makes it wider. And I was like, okay, so that's where it is. And, you know, I marked that on my seam gauge or whatever. And I knew that's how much allowance I wanted to make, which is really no big deal. Like on a nightgown, I wouldn't have cared if it was an inch off one way or the other, like, you know, as far as where it hung on my body. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just made it, you know, had a good idea of sort of where I wanted it. So what most people would do is they would probably pin this up to exactly, say, that three quarters of an inch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I do is I pick a spot on the machine. Like there's a place where, you know, two machine parts come together and it's like a little line on the machine. It's not really a guide, but there is a guide that is fantabulous.
It's called a fabric guide.
It is wonderful. And that's even better than using this guide where this slot that I'm looking at to guide my fabric on. And I want to, you know, I want to turn it up that much so that the fabric just went over to actually the first
needle one. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you look at the stitch, I'm really good at it, okay? But I've done it 5 million times. I mean, it wasn't always this good at it, okay? And I don't even pin it. I don't even mark it, okay?
So
I do this as I go along by sort of looking underneath and making sure I have it folded right. Folded right. And I look several times. I don't just buzz through it. You know, I do. So I see my two rows of stitching on top, and then on the bottom, and I turn it over, one of the rows is stitching, you know, is locked in place right up, 3/8 of an inch, quarter of an inch, off of the edge of the fabric, and the other one is just on the other side of the fabric. Okay, so it's encased.
Yes, the raw edge is encased.
The raw edge is encased. Now, it's knit, so it wouldn't be the end of the world if it wasn't perfectly encased. But I just get all turned on when I see it encased, when I do it.
Yeah, I want to talk about how you were like 3/8 of an inch away or whatever. When you're doing a cover stitch hem on something curved.
Yes.
Or a garment that narrows quickly. So that could be like another sort of thing that could happen. You cannot have a deep cover stitch hem. Okay, like you can't be turning this up 2 inches.
Only, right, only if that would be like a straight hem.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So if it's a curved, you're talking about shirt tail hem. Right. That's where like the
and even with only turning it up that half inch or whatever, I made sure my curves that were on my side seams, right? So it comes up and then goes back down. I make sure that they are a good gradual curve and nothing sharp.
Yeah.
Okay, where I would have to allow to ease in some fabric or something.
Because let's talk about this aspect of the cover stitch real quick. You know how on a sewing machine you can sink your needle down and then pivot your fabric?
Right.
Well, on a cover stitch, you have two needles.
Right.
You no longer have one pivot point.
Right.
So actually,
so you can't really turn.
You can a little bit, but you bring your needles out of the fabric,
right?
And it won't always look the best,
right?
Because the stitch isn't formed quite as beautifully.
Now, because it's a knit, you have a little bit of ease where you can sort of pull a little. And when you're going around, is that the concave or convex? Wait.
Yeah. Depends on how you, depends yeah, on which depends side on of the stitch you're on, yeah, right?
So convex, but you know, sometimes I'm easing the hem fabric in just a
for
little bit.
For sure.
And sometimes I am, might be spreading the top fabric a little bit.
For sure. So
but the, this, you know, and this is a, okay, everybody, this is not a science. This is a skill and an art.
You
this
get
is
used
practice,
to it.
Practice, practice, practice. Right.
And it just, you can't have a shirt tail hem on the cover stitch that's 2 inches deep, okay? If you
right.
want, if you want a really deep hem on something like that, you need like a facing, okay?
Right, because right. On anything, even yeah, on your machine.
Right, yeah. Even on your machine. Now, okay, we're talking about knits. Cover stitches are generally used on knits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they allow for stretch.
That's right.
This is a stitch that allows for stretchiness.
Right.
How cool. So that's why you'll see them on, like, when you're going to finish the cuff of a shirt or something like that.
See,
it can
you
be
see
nice.
It on a knit pants leg.
Yeah. Yeah.
A waistband. Leggings.
Leggings.
Leggings, waistband.
I was going to say leggings hem. Like
any leggings yeah. seam at all, really.
So that's why we're kind of talking about it on knits. Now,
right.
The nightgown you made, does the hem have to stretch a lot?
The hem actually does not have to stretch, okay? I mean, I make it roomy enough to sleep in. You know,
right.
It's sort of, it's kind of a straight garment, but my body is bigger at the top than the bottom, so
and
I don't
you
have
make
to worry
it, like, flare
that.
Out. It's not like it's like,
I do flare
yeah.
it out a little bit.
But I want to, hold on.
And making that shirt tail hem
uh-huh.
means it needs less stretch.
Yeah, but I also right. want to talk about this. So even though your nightgown hem doesn't, like, quote unquote, need to stretch.
Right.
If your nightgown got caught on something, or I have
that's
in bed.
That's right.
I have, like, put my hands
and
down.
And you twist yourself in your nightgown.
Yeah, or you
that?
Twist yourself, or you put your hands down and, like, scoop forward and you catch your hem.
Yeah.
Your fabric, because it's stretchy, is going to stretch. You want the stitch to stretch along
you
with it.
You do want the, right, because any manipulation at pulling that fabric
right.
is going to make a stitch
so if you've
pop.
Done it with a straight stitch, even though it doesn't have to stretch, you know, technically while right. you're wearing it, if the fabric gets stretched, the straight stitch would pop. So that's why
right.
we're using a cover
that's
stitch,
right.
even though we don't need it to, like, actively stretch right. around us. Okay.
Now in the one I did, I used Maxi Lock stretch thread on the top.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I used a regular Mettler straight out serger thread on the bottom. In fact, they didn't even match. I used a turquoise or teal color thread on the top.
Yep.
And on the bottom, it was already in there. It was like sort of a
story of my cover stitch life.
Yeah.
It was already in there.
That's right. And because and it was a pretty neutral fabric. It was kind of a very mellow yellow sort of. So it wasn't going to be something that if it did show, you know, it was going to be a big contrast that I was going to worry about.
Right.
And what I did is I tested, as I always do, and I took that scrap of that fabric, folded it up, stitched on it, and I saw that my top thread was not showing at all. And part of the reason is because I used the stretch thread,
uh-huh.
and it fills in.
Yeah.
Right? Had I used regular serger thread on top, okay, the lower thread probably would have had more capability of showing
yeah.
through the top. Now, I use stretch thread because of the look, not truly because of the functionality here.
Uh-huh.
But I did hem my sleeves, and I did want all that stretch in my sleeves.
On your sleeve.
Because in my sleeves, the sleeve is probably only a half inch larger than my arm.
Uh-huh.
You know, circumference.
And you're putting your
well, and I like
up
to shove them up.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
So I do kind of a short long sleeve on this garment, and then I shove it up to 3/4 lengths a lot of times.
So what ZD did was like the super awesome way of cover stitching, where she folded it up.
Right.
She stitched. She got the hem allowance perfect.
Right.
And didn't have to trim.
Now, if you haven't done this as often as I have, there's a couple of ways to do this. To, you know, like I said, and I feel through the fabric, and I can feel right where the edge of the, but you can either mark where it's make a line, you know, draw yourself a little line where it's supposed to be folded up.
Uh-huh.
And keep, you know, track of that. When, or you can pin it up. Or you can, what's the tape? Wonder tape it up. Right? There's you can clip it up. So you can secure that him up. I just don't have to anymore.
I would, though, caution you, okay, on overpinning this hem.
Right.
Even if you're somebody who just,
in
like,
fact, I probably wouldn't pin if I was going to do it.
I actually don't mind pinning. I'll pin it, like, four places.
I was going to say you pin them at the center of the edge.
Yeah.
And I sometimes do that just sort of to check myself. To make sure I'm not making it larger or
if my fabric's really squirrely.
That's true,
it can be kind of nice. Yeah. Okay, so
Or really a lot. If you've got a lot of bulk sometimes.
If you have, like, a shirt hem, okay, and your hem is, like, 40 inches around or even, like, 50 inches around,
right.
If you do it at quarters,
right,
really, that's pretty manageable space, like,
right,
between your hands.
Right.
You know, 10 inches, whatever, 12.5.
Right. Right.
Is that a quarter of 50? Yes, it is. So if you just have those pins there and keep that folded,
right,
and can feel that, that's still pretty manageable. And if you overpin, you can distort your fabric.
Well,
okay,
you will distort your fabric, and you're constantly pulling pins.
Yeah, you're really better off keeping
your
hands.
So you've got your hands off of it, and that's not good either. That's another thing nice about the Ovation is it has a knee lift.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're, you know, if you're planning on doing any manipulation of the fabric, which I'm pretty sure I did on some of the curves a little bit, I sort of stopped. And this is much like a serger. If you get on a curve, you can stretch it to a straightness. Now, don't overstretch it. Be nice to it. Be easy, you know? And
gentle.
Yeah, try not to contort. So you want it, just manipulate that enough that it will go back and remember what shape it was.
That's the nice thing about knits too, right? You can distort them a little bit.
Right.
The other thing is, okay, you're like, I wouldn't pin. And I'm like, I'd pin at the quarters. Maybe you can use Wonder Tape, this, that, and the other thing. One thing we consistently don't recommend you do, though, like pretty, like really try not to do this, is press in a hem.
Don't press
on the
in
knit
a hem before you do it. You'll be sorry.
Yeah, we
it might work once, it might work twice, but you will be sorry someday if you press in a hem before you sew it.
Especially, so we press in hems on, like, jeans or on, like, a super stable, like, drapery hem or something like that. But on a hem like this, you can really distort it with the iron ahead
of
time.
Actually, I don't think I press drapery hems in, do I?
I think that's one place where, like, I could see
you
doing it.
Oh, I think
it,
I might press the part that I fold under.
Under,
yeah.
So, anyway, you can actually get yourself in more trouble. Now, if it works for you, okay. Like, I'm not going to, like, come be the iron police or anything like that. But if you're doing it because you think you should, and you're still having trouble, give it a shot not doing that.
And I know there's lots of little guides and gizmos that tell you you can press a hem in, but I'm telling you, It's just not.
You're better off. You're better off pinning and sewing and then pressing, because if you press it in wrong, you've pressed a fold wrong. So and then on knits, there are lots of knits you can really distort with the iron.
For instance, like an A-line skirt, say you should be easing in the hem.
Right.
You know, I have seen people take tucks. That's really not the
schooled
way to
do
it, okay? You should be easing that in, okay? And then you press. If you press that ahead of time, then you start giving yourself some issues.
Right. You don't get the chance to ease it
in. So what's the second way you can do this?
Well, the second way was trimming.
Oh, did we talk about it already?
Well, I was trying to talk about it.
Okay.
So, I said you did it the way where you fold it up and it's perfect. Okay.
So
second way.
So the other way is you fold. So I'm going to have I don't think I would do it on this because of the curve. But if I.
Right.
That's probably why I never did do it on this. So the other way to hem with a cover stitch is to say you want a 1-inch hem. You fold up 1.5 inches or 2 inches and then, you know, you just stitch 1 inch from your folded edge,
right?
And then you go back and you trim away the excess.
This is good if you're not confident in catching the fabric. It's perfectly acceptable. It's going to give you a nice finish, okay?
Yes.
It's just fine. Or I don't think I'd do it, like, I was trying to think, okay, I have a shirt and then I want to take an inch and a half off. Like what I would do is I'd go cut the inch off and fold, or go cut 3/4 inch off and fold up 3/4 inch.
Yeah,
like
that's
whatever.
What I would do.
That's what I would do. But I'm a little more skilled. However, if I was worried, and I have been, there's a time when I wasn't as good at the cover
Sometimes
stitch.
Sometimes the fabric is hard to manipulate. You might be better off, you know, cutting it afterwards.
That's true. Giving yourself some more.
Yeah. Giving
like
yourself
allowance,
more leeway,
basic. Okay, so more support.
But just be nice to yourself.
Right.
Do it however
and then
works best.
Take your time trimming, because that'll suck if you cut into your fabric.
And the duckbill
very nice for this.
Applique scissors are very nice for that.
Very nice. So there's that. It's basically what ZD did. ZD was saying, oh, I wouldn't do this because the curve, because you're folding more up. You're having to deal with.
Right. Then you're talking about more contortion.
It's harder to ease.
I think it's probably why I always, this is the way I started at doing it. And I have always kept it this way.
Yeah.
And then when I go to do the sleeves, it's just as easy just to keep, you know, the same technique.
Now, I've done it before. I've been at the machine and then. I made kind of a mistake that didn't really matter, and then I'm just gonna trim this. Whoops, you know. So I've done that before.
Well, you can go and check that, and if you have overfolded and there's some sticking out, and you want to make it look better, you can trim off. Usually, it's not going to be that much, probably.
Right.
That
it
matters.
Just wouldn't be useful to you to leave too much up in there.
Right.
Anyway, so the third way is. Cover stitching upside down.
That's right.
So that was what I was going to say. It is the third way.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you cover stitch upside down,
uh-huh.
right, your lattice part will be on the outside.
So your lattice part isn't doing its normal job.
It's not covering
right?
your raw hem. Yeah. And on the inside, you are going to want to make sure that both of your lines of stitching are on the fabric.
And in this case, this is easier, right? You get to see what you're folding up.
Well, you get to see it.
Easier in that sense,
yes.
right? Mm-hmm. So if you're doing a decorative stitch on the outside, you're actually stitching from inside the garment.
Right.
So you get to see, you don't need to worry about not getting the fabric because you can't see it. You could worry for another reason, but you
can worry for whatever you want.
You could have another problem, but I do want to. You said you need to account for it getting both needles.
That's right.
You don't want to just catch your fabric with one needle.
If you
it doesn't
only
look
catch
nice.
With one, you'll get this, curly. And,
curly.
What'll happen is maybe you'll catch it in one place and not the other.
Yeah.
You're better over catching and going back and trimming off in that case, because you would really like to have both of those lines of stitching on that hem that is turned up.
Right. So. It can be a little easier, and then you can put decorative thread in your looper. So we said it's not a loop. It's not a bobbin.
And I do have a few jammies like that where I use decorative thread, and
Well, and it doesn't, and then it doesn't even have to be special or decorative.
Right.
It could just be a contrasting serger thread,
So this, I think there's a couple of people that have laughed about this and made comments about this before to me. So I wind up making my night shirts out of fabric that's left over or scraps of it. In fact, that particular one that I just made is color blocked. It has two different color sleeves, and then it's got a
really
seam down the front and down the back and all of this. Okay. these are the things that I got in trouble with my husband, because sometimes I'm incorporating fabric that I used in a rash guard or, another type of t-shirt or something. And he'll say to me, so are you dressed or not, or is that a nightgown? So there is no difference between my going out fabric and my, sleeping fabric anymore, or my sleeping garment anymore. And actually, Dietra used to do this, okay?
Uh-huh.
She liked to go to the grocery store at 6 in the morning, before anybody got there. And she used to, these were cotton nightgowns that she would make,
cotton nightgown.
Yeah, this was a woven fabric,
right.
And she would buy something that was sort of a nice, shirting, a plaid or something, and you couldn't see through it, And she would make herself a nightgown out so that she could go shopping in her nightgown.
That's funny.
Well, I think it's funny because she always seems so prim and proper
yes.
to me.
If anybody...
Like, you went to the grocery store in yeah. your nightgown. And this was before people wore pajama pants
yeah,
outside.
This yeah. is before sweatpants.
Yeah, this was before
all the time.
Pajama pants and, you
scandalous.
Know, yeah, and workout wear so were considered, you know, clothing.
Let's review a little bit. A cover stitch is not a serger or a sewing machine. It's its own monster.
Right. So there is such a thing as a standalone cover stitch.
That's right.
I also believe that there are machines, sergers, that do a cover stitch. They have, I don't know how, I don't understand them. I think it's a mock cover stitch. I don't think it's real.
It's a flat lock, isn't it?
No, they actually, it's one of the ones that is a five thread.
If it's a five thread, it's got a cover stitch.
Right. So that's like a combo machine, is what I'm saying.
It's a combo.
But they call it a serger. They don't call it a cover stitch oh. machine. I believe. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, but if they call it a combo, it's a surgery and a cover stitch. You think it's something
I'm
else?
I'm saying that there are machines that they just call sergers, I believe, that have a cover stitch on them. I don't know what the difference is. I don't know how it's different. Am I making this up?
I don't know. Anything's possible, but... I don't think that they're using one of the overlock loopers. I think they're using a cover looper, which would make it a separate mechanism.
They're not using a cover looper.
Then I don't think it's a cover stitch.
I think they're using the lower looper on a serger and somehow making this happen.
Then they're putting the auxiliary looper in place.
People say to me all the time, I don't know where they're coming from. They're saying my serger does a cover stitch.
Then it's a combo machine, I think. I don't know. Send us, if you have a machine that you think does something different than what we're talking about, send,
right.
I want the model number.
Because people are saying, I have a serger and it does a cover stitch.
So I think they have a combo machine.
They would have to have a combo machine or... It's some sort of mock cover stitch.
Now, here's the deal. Here's something that happens with the internet. Is we were just looking up a Brother cover stitch machine
right.
on Amazon, and it had the word serger in it. Well, you put the word serger in the title of your product to get some SEO juice.
Right.
Because people, you're like, oh, well,
tell
people.
Tell them what SEO is.
Search engine optimization.
Right.
So you know people are searching for serger, and they also want a cover stitch machine, so you put serger in the name of your listing, and... You know, I don't think it's, like, completely wrong, but it was a cover stitch only machine. It
and
didn't
I,
do overlock.
Well, and the other thing that I have had show up with sergers is people have said, my serger does a decorative stitch.
Yeah, right.
Not really.
Now, we've done okay, an episode yeah. on that.
Right. We've also had people say, my serger is electronic, and that is not true either, okay? It has an electronic screen on it that when you say you want a... You know, a three-thread narrow, you dial to that, and then it tells you what settings to put
now,
it on.
I don't know, though. So I don't know that Bernina that we were just
yeah.
looking at when we were doing a little research. It looked like maybe those are electronically controlled. And I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility, that those tension discs are controlled electronically. Because, like, the Destiny's tension discs are controlled electronically. So, anyway, I think it's possible, but
right.
you're right. In the past, it was like there was a screen, but then you had to go do your own dials. So, I don't know, but well, I was looking at that, and I actually had that thought. I was like, oh, I wonder if you are selecting it, and it is changing the tension
right.
to something that's recommended that you – so, looks like the Bernina has the air threading, but what it looks like they don't
yeah,
have –
Yeah, it does have an automatic threading now.
It doesn't have the auto tension – sensors like the Baby Lock does. So things are changing. Patents are
running
out.
Running
I don't know.
Out.
You know, we'll see what happens to the future of surging. But yeah, I was actually thinking about that with the Bernina that we were looking at. Actually maybe Julian can answer the question for us because he
yeah,
just did some
go.
Videos for them. So we'll check that out. Anyway, to recap, I was trying to like tie this up with a nice bow and then mom brought up some you know, this stuff can still be confusing because there isn't, like, a super regulated way to call this
well,
stuff,
right.
you know?
Well, right, and when people
like,
say that to me, I don't want to say,
no, that's
not
wrong.
Right, because I don't know what they're talking about.
Right. No, I think you're totally correct. Well, there was one lady in the group who she just would not, you know, we were talking about the auto tensions. And she said, well, this machine has auto tensions. I was like, no, that machine will change its settings, but it's not actually sensing the thread, which is more of what I would call automatic tension, you know.
Right.
She got, you know, really rude with me, but whatever. So anywho, cover stitch, it's got one looper on the bottom and have the option for two or three needles on the top. If it's just one needle, that's a chain stitch, which is right. a different ball of wax. And it's often used.
I think most cover stitch machines now have three needle capability.
I think so too.
Very common, maybe not all of them.
I think so too. So that is quite, that's generally what you're going to see. I'm sure there are older models that don't.
Right.
You know, right?
No. I believe Baby Lock actually had a cover stitch machine that only had two needles at one time. Right?
I think also, when we talk about all these numbers and cover stitch and triple cover stitch, et cetera, things can get a little confusing. Because it'll say four-thread cover stitch, and I think in a lot of people's minds, they picture four needles. It's three needles and a looper.
Right.
Equals four threads, right? Right. So right. That can sometimes get confusing. You can have a five-thread serger that maybe this is what they're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
A five-thread serger will do, like, a chain stitch.
Right.
Next to, but that would only be, that would be six threads. Because there's four, oh, but maybe it'll only do it with a three thread.
Well, it still only has two loopers.
I know, but two needles for a serger. Two needles for a serger, two loopers, that's four. A chain stitch would then need two more threads. That's six threads. So, that's different. Okay?
A five thread can have a chain stitch and then a three-thread overlock.
Right, but I'm saying that their overlock machine probably has four threads possible. Because it's got two needles and two loopers.
Yes.
So that's kind of a different ball. And I was trying to keep it really focused on the cover stitch here.
Right. I will tell you, you can go into a shop and to buy a serger, and there will be shops that are not savvy on their sergers. So you do want to try and find, you know, unless you are, you really need to plan on, you know, studying your machine.
And like we said, we're talking about models that came out after we were dealers. You know,
right.
And it was always hard too. People would come in. So we sold Baby Lock, and people would say, well, how does this compare to the Husqvarna this
right.
or the Bernina that? And we're like, we're not certain. You know, we don't sew
right.
on those
every
day.
We know what this machine does.
We will
does.
Show you what this does, right? And if they said, okay, well, like that lady said, oh, well, there's this machine that has auto tension. Well, let me explain. They're saying auto tension like this, and I'm saying auto tension like this.
Right.
You know, instead, and what that machine did, which was convenient, is if you selected a certain stitch, the tension knobs would move on their own.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And that's cool.
Right.
That's great. They move to the suggested tensions. And what the Baby Lock serger does, though, raise the presser foot, open the tension discs, lower the presser foot with thread in it, and it senses the thickness
right.
of the
they
each
don't
individual
need,
thread.
And in fact, they call it a thread delivery system versus tension on those.
That's right. That's right. Threads. So it's like okay, well, you know, we're all using things like auto and this and that in different ways. Let's explain what this, you know, really
right.
is like on the inside or whatever, you know. So anyway, another thing, this is something I don't know for certain, but the cover looper, okay. On our machine, on like
comes
the Triumph,
from
it comes
the left side.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's a different looper. So I don't think that the lower looper on an overlock machine could be repurposed to the cover
Do
looper.
That.
But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's where this is coming up.
Right.
And it's something I don't know about.
Right.
You know, that would be very
rare,
complex, but could happen. You know, the other thing. We're running a little late on this podcast, but somebody said you have to be a rocket scientist to switch it. And you were like, well, Baby Lock makes it easy. I mean, it is. It takes some time. It's not as simple as pushing a button. I think I did this in a live where I switched from serger to cover stitch. And I was like, I'm doing this in real time.
That's right.
I'm not
That's
speeding right. it up. I'm just going to show you
and
actually.
And when we used to teach the Baby Lock combo machine, I would teach the serger part first. We wouldn't even talk about the cover stitch part. I would just teach the serger. Make sure that, you know, you knew the serger. Then I would teach the cover stitch part.
Yeah.
And make sure you knew that. Then we would talk about combining them.
Yeah. And because they really could be treated almost as two separate
and
machines.
And they do stand alone and function separately.
And there's like color coding on the baby lock.
That's right.
Where it's like the, I can't remember. I think the overlock stuff was in green and the cover stitch stuff was in gold. And yeah. So you were, you know, that was helpful once people understood that. People like, including me. So anyway, that there are some different things coming out. Like we said, you know, technology is changing all the time. But I think this is an answer of like, what is a cover stitch and why it might seem weird, because they are their own, it's its own animal.
Right.
You know, and somebody who started out sewing on a sewing machine for the longest time and then was like, what's a serger? You know, and then is like, what's a cover stitch?
And I would guess that those people that are saying, oh, my serger will do a cover stitch, my question to them would be is, can you do this with your fabric flat, or do you have to fold it over to do it?
Yeah,
because then it would be more of a mock stitch.
Right, because like we said, there's not really standardized language, but ZD and I try to really define what we're talking about when we're talking about
right.
it. You know, when we say cover stitch, this is what we are talking right. about, so that we can, you know, use that shared vocabulary or whatever. So anyway, yeah, let us know. And I'd love to know the model number. I will look at owner's manuals.
And I hope we have not confused you.
Yeah, I was like, here we go.
Yeah.
When someone asks a machine-specific question, and I think I know the answer to it, but it's not a machine I have a lot of experience with, I'll look at the owner's manual. You can access right. almost any machine owner's manual
the
online.
Other thing that we have come across a lot of times is people saying, oh, my sewing machine, I can turn it into a serger.
Yeah.
Because, and what they will understand or what someone has told them and what all they understand is, well, they have this foot that will cut off the edge of the fabric while you're sewing. Yes, that's available for sewing machines. It does not turn your sewing machine into a knitted stitch.
Doesn't you put loopers on your sewing
right,
machine,
you still
right?
have a lock stitch that you are using. That is not what a serger or, you know, an overlock really is. That's not its only function,
you know,
that it cuts and sews at once.
That would frustrate me when we were dealers because I was like jealous or wanted people to call something a certain thing or whatever, right? But people would come in and say, oh, well, this dealer showed me this sewing machine that can turn into a serger. And I was like, you're going to be really disappointed.
Right.
This is not going to do. If that person knew what a serger does, you know, if they were expecting to get right. the exact same results, I think that's almost like,
well, and what I would assume is the person showing them just didn't really understand. They thought, oh, well, it just cuts
yeah.
and sews at
yeah.
the same time.
Yeah.
That's not all
that's
it
true.
Does. A
no.
serger gives you a knitted stitch.
A different structure. Yeah.
Yes.
No, that's very true. But that would kind of upset me because I was like, well, oh my gosh.
Right.
This person thinks they're going to get this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
And they're really not like going to get exactly
right.
what we're talking about
exactly.
here. You know, they're not going to get the results that their friend with a serger is getting, you know,
right.
And could that be disappointing? So yeah, we never said anything like that, but we're such serger enthusiasts, I guess, you know.
Well, I think so too. And, you know, I remember when we actually closed our shop, I can't remember the guy's name at Baby Lock that was in charge of.
Yeah.
You know, he said to me, he said, the one thing about you guys is you understood your machines. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and I thought it was kind of funny
No staff member at our place was saying we had sewing machines that turned into sergers.
Right.
Not for long. If I would have heard that, I'm like, oh, one second. I think what so-and-so was trying to say, you know, that would have perked our ears up for sure.
Yeah, I can't remember that guy's name. I can see him, but I can't remember his name.
Craig?
Yeah.
Is that Craig? Craig say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the one who's gone.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. He's gone now.
Yeah.
Maybe
Ray. Ray.
Oh, maybe Ray, it's Ray.
But Ray retired like before we left.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Ray.
Okay.
But maybe he didn't understand the machine, so he's
maybe,
gone.
maybe everyone thought we understood our machine, so we just can't remember who said it, you know. No, we did. We did have a good understanding of our machines.
Right, and how they worked. Yes.
I think we really did know that. And so things can change, and we're not in the technical.
Technology is fast, everybody.
And we're not in the technical trainings for Baby Lock or for the other brands. You know, I wish we could. I thought those were so fun. You
those
know?
Were good.
So I loved them. Okay, well,
we can call up Baby Lock and ask them if we can
come to tech training? For good time?
Yeah.
Just for good time. Okay, well.
Our what did they call it? Dealer training where they showed you all the machines, remember?
Yeah, we've gone on for almost an hour trying to clarify cover stitching. And
but
maybe
we do have a good editor.
Brought up more questions than answers. I don't know, but that's the hallmark of being really curious, right?
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I'm gonna couch it that way, Mom. I'm gonna couch it.
Okay, and I'm gonna sign off with, try not to be confused. So long and so happy.
Cover stitch long, serger lock happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.